Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Let me take you to McDonald's. Take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's. Take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to McDonald's. I know you like it. Let me take you to McDonald's.
Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $4. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $4. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $4. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $4.
Everyone's very hungry. They're starving. They need to get into public subs.
I'm getting very hungry. I'm starving.
You, when you are with a woman, you take them to McDonald's. When you are alone, you get to luxuriate in public subs.
It makes a great point, though. Public subs rule.
Oh, they're the greatest. They're the greatest.
It's the bread. It's the bread that they use.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely the best. Never find a better sandwich. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. And we are here for you, the good people, here, right here. And I actually watched the second half of a BC basketball game last night.
Good for you. Did you go to the game?
No.
Well, oh, okay.
I saw it on the ACC network.
Mm-hmm. Any good? I have no idea.
BC is a little over 500.
Okay.
They beat Virginia.
Big upset last night.
You know who's shockingly good? The Bryan Bulldogs, if I'm not
correct.
Mistaken.
They are very good.
You're a team that you do the play-by-play of.
Yes, sir.
Which, for how
they
many...
They didn't fire you yet for being deaf in one ear?
Nope. They haven't fired me. They welcomed me back last weekend with open arms.
If you don't know, John Wallach has had a tumor removed from his right ear, which has made him deaf in that ear.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a whole contraption that is connected to his phone,
mm-hmm.
and everything pushes to the left ear.
Yes.
So unlike two Seinfelds, you know, I've been watching Seinfeld, and then there's the one Seinfeld where George tells the girl that he loves her, and then he's under the impression that she can't hear out of her left ear. And then there is a episode with the woman that eventually was on Will and Grace, the supporting character, the black-haired one, where he...
Megan Mullally, is that her?
Sure. And she can't hear out of her left ear, and the joke is he can't go right on with a girl.
Sure.
He's got to go left.
Correct.
And so two episodes of Seinfeld focusing on the lack of hearing in an ear. So you... have you been watching Seinfeld?
No, I have not.
You could put yourself in the position of these people.
I see.
Yeah. There's two episodes. I saw one yesterday. And then I saw one 2 days ago.
How about that?
It's on Hulu, the Seinfelds. And you forget how good, but Rich, you never watched the Seinfeld.
I didn't. It's not because I didn't want to. It was on Thursday nights, and for years, while that was on, that was one of the nights that my band always practiced.
Yeah, but I never watched it either, but it's been in syndication for years and years and years.
Yeah, I haven't really watched much in syndication, much TV. See, your TV's always on in the house, right?
Yep.
Okay. Our music's always on in our house.
So what do the kids do? They draw? like dummies?
Well, I mean, they only watch like about 30 minutes a day, and that is before they go to bed. They watch a show.
And so what do? What do they just sit there doing what?
Dude, how much homework does your kid have? Mine's got like hours of homework, and it sucks.
I don't have it that
I have to sit there and like basically do the homework with them. Because a lot of times it's like stuff that it's not even like reinforcing what you learned. It's you're going to be exposed to this for the first time with your dad or mom sitting next to you who has no idea how to do any of this. And then that way they're aware of it when they go into school. Because I swear to God, I mean, half the time my kids have no idea what they're working on.
No, but it's been a strategy of yours, right, to not let them watch television.
No, I mean, listen, I have no problem with TV as long as it's not annoying. Like, I'm not going to let them watch annoying shows. Matter of fact, I'd prefer if we could sit down and watch a show instead of do their homework. But no, we just don't always have it on. It's music instead. I find music to be a little less distracting. Especially like I always have music on even when they're doing their homework. It's kind of in the background, and you know me, that's something that I just constantly have to have. So I don't know. It's your, how much homework does your kid have?
Hour a night, my son, and then my daughter has none because she's in third grade.
Yeah,
so she has none. She'll have like little things, but my son has like an hour, but then he gets really behind.
I had to talk to my son's teacher, third grade one, Max, and go, 2 hours of homework's too much. Like, he's got, like, what are you doing? Like, how can we do this? And so finally, like, she had to concede that, okay, well, half of this is really stuff he doesn't have to do anyway. And I'm like, okay, well, what are we doing? So it's still at least an hour with a third grader. I don't remember ever doing homework when I was a kid, ever. Like, I did it on the bus on the way to school. I would just do it on the bus, and that was it.
I didn't really do homework in college. I figured out that if you just I went to a small school, but if you participated in class, that was most of your grade. But no, the children, and I'd prefer them to watch TV, quite frankly. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said, they said, what do you regret most? And he said, I was not aware of popular culture. I was too wrapped up in books. And listen, I've made a living out of watching TV when I was a kid. So I don't have a problem with them watching TV.
I watch tons of TV. Tons. I mean, at some point, it was like the babysitter. They just turned it on. I remember there were like summers where I would just go downstairs and turn on MTV and watch it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that was, and then, you know, movies, like when HBO was around and stuff like that, you know, I would just sit there and just watch movies all day. Ones I didn't even care about watching, I would just sit there and do it because that was the babysitter.
Yep. And that, yeah. And you could, and there were, I mean, when I was until we didn't get cable until I was fairly, and I was definitely at least an adolescent before we got cable. And so then you had the four channels. And so you were pretty much in the zeitgeist. You were watching what everyone else was watching. But they don't watch it. I mean, if I have Seinfeld on, they don't watch it. They're doing whatever the hell they do.
Yeah, it's funny. I get everyone's references when they talk about Seinfeld. And I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I, for the most part, I really liked. I haven't seen like the last several seasons.
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah, I heard it's not as good as it was in the beginning. But I mean, and the Seinfeld stuff I've seen is pretty funny, but it is fairly dated. But it was also on the same night as, like, you know, usually you'd have to, if you really want to sit down and watch something, it would have to be on the same night as something else good. But wasn't that also Friends night? Wasn't Seinfeld and Friends on the same evening?
Seinfeld started on Fridays. Nowadays, they would not have given Seinfeld a second season. It started on Fridays, and it did very poorly. But I never saw Seinfeld when it was on television because it was on when I was in college, where I did not watch TV at all in college.
It also went opposite the one show I did record. Like, I remember the first, like, five seasons of Survivor. I loved that show. I thought that show was unbelievable. And then I just stopped watching it.
Well, they were on at the same time. Seinfeld kicked its ass because there's no way they were on at the same time.
I think it was on at 8. I think it was on at 8 on Thursdays. It was opposite Friends.
Friends did really well.
It did. Yep.
I don't know if Survivor was on Thursdays, but you would know better than me.
Yeah, it was opposite that because, I mean, they needed – CBS was getting their ass kicked on Thursdays, and they knew they had a hit. So you just needed something. And I'm sure that Friends probably beat it. But Survivor, I know in the first couple seasons, did really well.
But I, you know, and then I did nights from 7 to midnight. But before that, I did 6 to 11. And when I got home Seinfeld was on, and I had never seen Seinfeld. So it was a fantastic, I got to see it all for the first time. And now I'm circling back because it's on Hulu, and now I'm able to circle back on it. And, you know, see the one where they think that he's gay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yes. Yeah. See, I get that reference. I get the references. I've heard them enough where I know what they're talking about.
Right. You're like my wife. The Vulture came out with something like the 207 best things, funniest things from 2010 to 2020. And my wife would not get any of them. Any of them, except for the sketch from I Think You Should Leave Now with the car focus group, which took her like a couple of watches to get what was going on. All right. Well, when we come back, we will talk about Josh McDaniel, who I revel in his failure.
Fred, the longer this goes on, and this is an offseason where he was ready to go. He was ready to interview. He was ready to take a job.
Well, they're not going to interview him.
No, but I mean, that's the thing. Now, where he interviewed for a job and didn't get it last year, he's not even getting in the front door before they hire other people this year.
They're scheduling interviews and hiring people out from under him, which is fantastic. Because
people
no
see
balls.
Things your way now. I'm convinced of it after watching.
Yeah, he has no
people
balls.
People see things your way this year.
Yeah,
teams do.
He's pussy. He didn't pull the trigger on getting a job. I mean, you only get so long. And then they go, all right, well, you obviously don't want to work. You're obviously someone who's afraid to leave your job. And the Browns have already interviewed, 8 people?
Yeah, and he's supposed to meet with them Friday, but now the Browns don't have to hurry. They're the only vacancy. They can take all the time in the world they want.
Right, and they've interviewed, I think at least half the people they interviewed are still involved in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm predicting Eric Bieniemy for that job is who I am. And I like the spin that McDaniels wouldn't take it because of Haslam. McDaniels.
I don't know if McDaniels is going to be in the running.
Yeah, exactly. And if McDaniels don't get a job this year, I got news for you. McDaniels ain't getting a job next year.
Yeah, the offense, as soon as Brady leaves, his star is going to fall significantly. Unless Stidham goes out and throws for 4,030 touchdowns.
Well, that's the thing is that I don't think it's. I think that people might end up giving Josh McDaniels credit if the offense isn't a disaster when Brady leaves.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think disaster this year, and beyond that, he showed no character.
But clearly, this year especially, there is a different way of thinking about him.
Yeah,
seems that way.
Well, no, it's the truth. I mean, they're not even interviewing him. They're scheduling interviews and hiring out from under him. They're hiring a special teams coach from the Patriots.
Over him
before they even interviewed him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was supposed to meet with Carolina yesterday, and they hired Matt Rhule yesterday morning, right before we went off the air. And he was supposed to meet with the Giants today, but Joe Judge met with the Giants on Monday, and they hired him yesterday.
Yeah, so good for you, Josh McDaniels. I've always thought that he was a coward, that he wouldn't take a job, and so good, he can rot here. And if I was the Patriots, I wouldn't give him the job when Belichick retires. Why? Why would I take scraps when I could have someone who's innovative? All right, we'll have that all for you, plus the Bruins win. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Hey, what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, another week, another local team accused of cheating. A couple of months ago, The Athletic broke a story about how the 2017 Houston Astros were hitting trash cans in the hallway attached to their dugout to signal to batters when pitches were coming next. A method that, to be honest, was so archaic that after hearing the examples that the internet found, it's amazing this wasn't sniffed out sooner.
Fastball, no bang at all. Takes it. Next pitch. There's the changeup. Bang, bang. Takes it. There was the off speed. Now it's like, wait, what? What's going on here? Now look. Fastball outside. So quick. Two signs. Geared up for the fastball. Fouls it off. Next pitch. Changeup. Bang, bang.
Well, remember the two.
Was that just some nerd?
Yeah, he went through and found all of these tapes.
Yeah, what a cool guy.
Well, I mean, but that's fascinating. I mean, how loud that is.
And yeah, I know, but it's just, that's how you're spending your time? Like, you've watched enough of the games?
He's doing all of us a service, Fred.
Yes, now I'm furious at the Astros.
Well, one member of that 2017 Astros team was Red Sox manager Alex Cora, so naturally people started asking, did Alex use any methods of cheating while managing the Red Sox? And according to a follow-up investigation by The Athletic, they are saying, yes, he did. According to their report, at least some players visited the video replay room during games to learn the sign sequence that opponents were using. Now, the replay room is just steps from the home dugout at Fenway Park. So the way the system would work was that a staff member in the Red Sox video replay room would zoom in on the catcher and then tell a player the current sign sequence. The player to return to the dugout, delivering the message on foot rather than having some sort of wearable device or a phone. And then someone in the dugout would relay the information to the base runner, leaving the runner with two easy steps. Watch the catcher's signs and with body movements, tell the hitter what was coming. So in daily hitters meetings, Red Sox players and personnel, they would review how they were going to communicate that for the day. The runner stepping off the bag with the right foot first could mean a fastball. So let's say this guy's on second, and he sees the signal. He sees the catcher. All right, the runner stepping off the bag with the right foot first mean a fastball. Left foot first, that would mean a breaking ball or an off-speed pitch. So the Red Sox yesterday issued a statement stating, quote, we recently made aware of allegations suggesting the inappropriate use of our video replay room. We take these allegations seriously and will fully cooperate with Major League Baseball as they investigate. And after that, Major League Baseball released a statement saying the commissioner made clear in a September 2017 memorandum to clubs how seriously he would take any future violation of the regulations regarding use of the electronic equipment or inappropriate use of the video replay room. Given these allegations, MLB will commence an investigation in this manner. I mean, this just, it's one of those things where I saw somebody, and it might have even been in the article, who referenced it too. It's like giving you giving somebody a test and then leaving the open book right next to them and telling them not to look at the book, even though it's just right there for you to do so. And apparently there weren't even officials guarding these replay rooms until what, the end of last season, the very end of last season. So anyone could just go walk up to these cameras and zoom in on what the catchers were doing and just write down everything.
However, you left out that Joe Torre issued a memorandum during spring training of 2018 specifically saying, here's a reminder, not allowed to use video replay. If you do, we will crack down on you. I understand your point, but to have a Major League Baseball executive issue a memorandum before that season started saying specifically not to do this, the Red Sox should get nailed by Major League Baseball for doing this.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those situations, too, is the more you read about it, it's like, you know, obviously everyone knew and everyone's kind of involved, but there were apparently three sources within that 2018 Red Sox team, like people within the organization who sold out the Red Sox. And I'm wondering, like, who's bitter towards this team so much? Like, what three people were part of that organization that talked to The Athletic and basically ratted out Alex Cora? Because I know Alex Cora is a fairly universally liked guy, right? Like, don't the players love playing for him? And for some reason, when I was reading this article, I was just trying to figure out who are the three ex-employees or maybe even current employees who are trying to throw Alex Cora under the bus. Because that was almost the more fascinating part of all of this. But I mean, they are going to get a pretty decent sized punishment for this. Have we heard about what's going to happen to Houston? Like, I mean, that story is fairly
couple of weeks. Couple of weeks, they're going to come down with a ruling. But they've been going through emails and interviewing dozens of employees. I mean, and Major League Baseball is going to do the same thing to the Red Sox. This isn't going to happen quickly. They're going to spend months combing through everything. And statistically, I guess Boston's OPS was the highest in the majors in 2018.
Yeah, it was.
And the highest in the previous dozen years. And I'm reading an article here from Sports Illustrated. 77% of all of those plate appearances occurred with a runner at second base.
Yep.
An OPS with runners in scoring position of 872.
Which is where it worked.
Wasn't nearly that good last year, as we all know. I mean, the Red Sox are guilty of this. And they should be punished accordingly.
And the other thing, too, is that they're saying, however, in the playoffs, the other teams at that point, they're all good enough. Like, I think there was a reference in the article is that, you know, when you're playing teams that just aren't that sharp, you can take massive advantage of it, like, you know, lesser teams. But by the time you get to the playoffs, these are all pretty good teams who are all fairly aware of what's going on. So they would change up the signals enough during the playoffs to where this was a fairly ineffective method.
But the ultimate bottom line is they were told not to do it and did it anyway, regardless of the teams they were playing against.
You can sounds familiar.
You can right. No, it's a Patriots thing. I mean, you can sugarcoat it all you want. The Red Sox were told by Major League Baseball not to do this, and they did it anyway. So, I mean, I'm thinking the investigation, as long as it is, it's going to be months, will bear this out.
Right. Big trouble. Big trouble.
Loss of high draft picks. You know, you got to figure Cora, who's in the middle of this, is going to get suspended some way or another once they connect officially all the dots.
Well, you suspend the manager of a baseball team and your season's over.
That's right. You get, what are they going to do? They're hamstrung the entire time.
I mean, it's just like it's going to be a disaster.
I mean, the players are going to be running the wrong way and running the third instead of first.
I mean, it's like Belichick not being there.
So, I don't know. Sign stealing has been around forever. It's hard for me to get too upset about it.
But, I mean, as I said, you know, baseball's kind of silly with all of this. But John makes the best point. The difference is that as silly as it all is, when you are specifically told, just like the Patriots were, you can't do
it's
this.
It's a memo on file. I handed right. it to them during spring training. Right. I mean, my God.
I mean, when you are warned specifically about this.
And this was after the whole Apple Watch thing in 2017, and Manfred said, I've been assured by the Red Sox that nothing like this will happen again. I mean, you have embarrassed the commissioner. The Major League Baseball told you not to do it, and you did it anyway. I mean, what more do you need?
Who's selling him out? Who's selling out Cora? Who doesn't like Alex Cora?
No, I mean, he's one of these guys who's nice to your face, and then you turn around, he stabs you in the back.
Didn't Wade Miley get in a fight with Alex Cora in the dugout?
Wade Miley just eats up innings, baby. Wade Miley's been in the league
Who's the guy who wrecked his shoulder by throwing his glove really hard? Remember the reliever who came off the mound?
Yeah. See, now I'm trying to think back.
I just always see Wade Miley get signed every offseason because he's always a free agent.
Yeah, Carson Smith, the guy who's a horrible trade and, you know, missed his entire year by tearing a ligament at his elbow and then wrecked his shoulder by throwing his glove after coming out of the game.
All I got to say is that if you can develop your arm where you can pitch enough innings, you'll stick around in the majors forever. Wade Miley is not a good pitcher, and he's been around forever.
Especially if you're a lefty.
Yeah.
You have a 20-year if you're decent at all, if you can throw 85 or 90, you'll have a 15-year career.
I tell my son, I say, please, just stick it out.
Daddy needs to save some money.
Just stick it out. Listen, you might not be the best right now.
Yep.
Things will even out. Just, you know, develop that rotator cuff. Don't get in any trouble. All right, Rich, what are we going
to
talk about?
All right, let's get to that Josh McDaniels and the rest of the Patriots news and a clip from the Felger and Maz show that has gone viral.
Ooh, Felger and Maz go a little viral. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did they say something like honk? He's a honk.
No, that would be our show that does that.
Honk?
No, hunk.
No, they say honk.
Oh, a bobo.
And then they say, what are the terms they
porked.
Use? That
pork,
which annoys the hell out of me. But you know, they signed a document. The document.
Oh, I saw it.
It's really cool. I've done this. It was super cool.
I saw that.
It was really cool. They referenced it thousands of times.
Someone is saying Miley was with Farrell. God, it just seemed more recent than that. So, I thought there was one dugout fight.
They traded
Pomerantz. Was it a Pomerantz one? Boy, am I...
Nah, Pomerantz just is I'm crafty.
Everything's like melding together.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares?
Who sold him out?
Who cares? No one cares if the Red Sox get in trouble.
I find that interesting. I just, that's the main thing.
I just want to know what the penalties are going to be and whether or not they really create
an impact.
In baseball,
like, the penalties are, you don't even notice them.
It's going to be draft picks It's going to be high draft picks.
Yeah, it's going to be a high draft pick.
Unless they take a first-round pick away from the Red Sox, you're right. It's just going to go by the board. It's like, all right.
Yeah, no one's going to notice it. All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what happened with that coward, Josh McDaniels.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, getting close to that. Every day is closer to that Motley Crue concert that is going to be a unmitigated disaster. We're going to have tickets to give away next week. And you will be able to see Vince Neil and all his bloated, fat old glory.
The best is that Motley Crue just released a 2020 version of Shout at the Devil, like a rock video for it. And they realized just how awful they look, so they just took the cast of The Dirt to perform it.
Yeah, well, good for them.
He said, whatever you do, avoid putting Vince Neil on camera.
Because Nikki Sixx is not even looking good anymore. I saw him.
He's fine. He's what you expect someone, like a rocker of his age, to look like.
Well, he made the mistake of because I've even considered darkening my beard because it's so gray.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the made that he was. I saw something. We were sitting down with Tom Morello, and he just said, "Let's not fool around. Let's just make everything jet black."
Remember the guy that used to work here who changed his name?
Yes, I very well
to try to be like Nikki Sixx.
And I remember a couple girls liking that.
Sure, whatever it works with, whatever it works with. Well, so we know that there's a good chance that Tom Brady is not going to be wearing the Flying Elvis next season, but is there someone else, someone even more important, that might be considering jumping ship in the near future? Here is Greg Bedard on Felger and Maz yesterday.
It was a surprise to me, but I had heard from two different league sources that basically said, you know, Belichick might be in play. Not definitely, not that he was out there, any of that stuff, but people thought that he was, you know, in play, that it was possible. Now, Cleveland's the only one open, so that's probably over. But I think this is part of an overreaching whole part of this dynamic that's going on between Belichick, Kraft, Brady. I think this is all of it is an orchestrated power play. So I think everybody's setting up their leverage. I think that Brady, this whole thing, ever since he didn't get what he wanted on his contract extension, which was like the third time he didn't get what he wanted, Brady finally said, okay, well, I want the power now. I want the leverage. And so no franchise tag, puts his house on the market. Alex Guerrero puts his house on the market. It's all at least the appearances to put the squeeze on Kraft, at least, that, hey, I'm ready to go. And then also at the same time, Belichick is a guy who always keeps his options open. So I think Belichick might have, if I was hearing it, I'm sure other people were hearing it, that maybe he was hoping that would get back to Kraft where, hey, I could have other options too.
Okay, now here's the only situation where I could see that happening, and I actually talked about this yesterday, and that's if the Krafts cave and give Brady a ridiculous amount of money in direct contrast to Belichick's wishes. Like if Belichick says, if you're going to bring back Brady, it better just be for 1 year. Any more than that, then I don't want it. I want to go ahead and start moving on, and I want to try to groom this new quarterback, whoever it may be. And the only way I could see Belichick considering leaving is if the Krafts step in and say, not so fast, and completely overrule Bill Belichick on really what would be one of the bigger decisions in football.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Where is he going to go? He's 67, and so he wants to have to create an entirely new culture at a different place.
Fred, I don't believe it's going to happen either. I'm just saying that to me would be the only scenario would just be so fed up. Like, well, how can you disrespect one of the biggest, like you are, in probably his opinion, I'm thinking if they were to sign Brady to 2 years and a ton of money, exactly what Brady wants, he might be saying, you've just moved our organization back several years when I'm trying to plan to start this move ahead, reloading.
He'd have to take some time off, and by then he's 70, and I don't know really what he's going to do.
Take 1 year. He'll take 1 year.
And then he'll be...
Because Bedard's right. He's not going anywhere now. Everything is filled. Any possible place he would want to go.
Well,
is
someone
gone.
Might could fire a coach and bring in Belichick. That's but I mean, if you're that old, do you want to start a whole entirely new culture?
What's he worth, by the way, if you were to trade Bill Belichick?
A lot.
How many first round picks is he worth?
100.
Yep.
I think a zillion first round picks.
Didn't that cost Tampa Bay a couple first round picks? The whole Oakland Tampa Bay deal.
Belichick cost the Patriots a first round pick and something else.
So you start there.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's at least two first round picks. I mean,
Gruden, at least. I think it was two.
But if he wants to leave, you've lost a little bit of your bargaining power at that point.
Oh, you're going to have teams jockeying against each other for Bill Belichick. I think that's where the bargaining power is. If I'm Belichick,
there's no way I'm leaving.
No, but he needs to at least keep up appearances. He's ready to do that.
Fine.
And Bedard's right. Maybe he's throwing it out there because he feels that maybe there's a chance that the Crafts might cave into Tom Brady.
You hosed me on Garoppolo a couple of years ago. I wanted to get rid of Brady then.
Nobody blames the Crafts for that.
Eventually, the Crafts are right because Brady delivered them another Super Bowl. But you took over a couple of years ago when I wanted to keep Jimmy and get rid of Tom, and now here we are again.
Well, there's a... I mean, that's what's that. In my opinion, that's what would happen. It would be like a late night phone call from Robert Kraft, you know, to Brady, going, "Please come back." And then, yes, I would believe Belichick doesn't want him back. But I don't know at Belichick's age where he's going to go and try to manufacture a culture where he's. I mean,
no, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah,
we all agree he's going to coach till he's 75, or you know, and then he's going to be one of these guys that dies the day after he coaches.
Right, right.
Stops coaching, but I mean, that's all phony. I don't know where he'd go. What if he went to college? That'd be interesting.
Yeah, the SEC head to head against his buddy
Saban.
Yeah, it'd be great. Now that'd be fun.
Well, you know what's funny is he couldn't get the Alabama job, and he could. I know Clemson's ACC. But he couldn't get the Alabama or Clemson jobs.
Go to Baylor.
Bill in a high school kid's living room. I would pay money to see
that.
It'd
be great.
I mean, we think little Jimmy will fit in just fine with our program.
Do you know how like freewheeling Belichick would be if he was a college coach? Because it's 1,000 times easier.
Oh, sure.
Oh, he would just be like, He'd be like Captain Rock and Roll.
Well, meanwhile, while Josh McDaniels was set to interview the New York Giants, fellow co-worker and special teams guru Joe Judge, just shoved McDaniels out of the way and said, "Not so fast there, sir."
They said they wanted a special teams coach, which the only special teams coach that's in the NFL right now is Jim Harbaugh. And
didn't Belichick coach special teams?
Yeah, he did for 10 years, but he was a defensive coordinator when he came in.
Yeah. So,
the Baltimore hired Jim Harbaugh, and they looked at the Patriots and they go, "We don't want you, you lily livered yella. You look at you, McDaniels, trying to be the man. You are not the man. You are not going to get a job. Congratulations, you screwed everything up."
Well, Giants Twitter yesterday was pretty damn funny because Joe Judge is officially listed as a, quote, wide receivers coach. Do you know how many times all I've been hearing all season is how awful Tom Brady's receivers are, and you're putting our team in the hands of the guy that's responsible for that?
The Hurlman did that. Hurley was not happy with that.
Well, I thought that was pretty funny.
He hurled it out there.
He did, and the second best part of that story is the tweet that Ed Werder put out shortly afterwards saying, quote, "Source: Giants requested permission from the Cowboys to interview Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator under new head coach Joe Judge. Garrett's 10 years of head coaching experience would be important asset to an inexperienced head coach. Also, Garrett could develop Daniel Jones if he's interested." Oh, that's got to hurt if you're Jason Garrett, getting less preferential treatment than special teams guy. On top of that, why are they asking the Cowboys for permission? He was fired, right? His contract's done. They let him go. Why did they say Giants are requesting permission from the Cowboys?
Just to be a gentleman.
Isn't his contract done?
No. Technically, his contract is still valid for another week or two. I think it's the 14th.
Oh, so you still have to ask permission?
If you want to hire him before the 14th, you do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
I love that he was not on anyone's radar, and they didn't even bother to interview McDaniels.
It's a great job by the Giants.
Listen, that's not ridiculous to hire a special teams coach.
All I know is Mike Francesa is on board. Francesa tweeted out he's a solid head coach. He'll make the Giants better.
Francesa, by the way, not bad in the Sandler movie.
I heard he. I heard he's good. By the way, this is great too. Meanwhile, another potential McDaniels destination scooped up with the Carolina Panthers hiring former Baylor head coach Matt Rhule. But the best thing about that hiring, I don't know if you saw this, is the utterly ridiculous deal that he got.
Oh yeah.
According to Adam Schefter, the Panthers signed Rhule to a seven-year deal worth $60 million with incentives that could be worth up to $70 million. On top of that, the Panthers paid Baylor $6 million to buy him out to become their head coach.
It was a hot name. Let's get back to McDaniels.
Okay.
So McDaniels, as I've often said, it was chicken crap. And then the reasoning for him not leaving was fascinating to me, is that he didn't want to move his family. Well, listen, there's 32 jobs, buddy. You're going to have to move your family at some point. And every year that goes by where he doesn't get a head coaching job makes me feel delighted that you're in that kind of position. He's younger than me. He's a year younger than me. And I would have moved in 10 seconds when our contract was up. I would have moved in 10 seconds, and I got young kids, and that guy was too chicken-ass to move. Oof. You lost every opportunity. You got cold feet going in Indianapolis. Congratulations.
Bert says it's funny because I think that was the reasoning that was he publicly put out there was for his family. But Bert said that from talking to, he didn't say him specifically, from talking to his sources, that it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the personnel that he was going to be able to bring around him, and he wasn't able to do that.
He didn't like the personnel. He didn't have any confidence in himself. All I know is that this guy has turned down more jobs, and then every year they get less and less and less. And now he's an after. Would you hire him? I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not in a million years would I hire that guy. Not in a million years would I hire him. An offensive coordinator that worked with Brady? No way. No way, no how. Uh-uh. Not hiring that guy in a million years. And now people aren't even bothering to interview him. Do you know the sting that must feel like when you don't even get interviewed? That they schedule interviews with you and you're getting prepared and getting all excited, and then they just don't even bother. They just hire someone.
Let's see if he gets the Cleveland job. Let's see if he gets a Cleveland.
Oh, but he won't want it because of Haslam, and he won't want it because of blah, blah, blah.
How many people has Cleveland interviewed up to this point?
Well, like seriously, 20? Yeah,
well, that's actually good news for Josh McDaniels.
No, it's not, because most of them are still in the playoffs. So it's not good news for Josh McDaniels. I don't think they have any intention whatsoever of hiring him. All right, we'll be right back. Yeah, having fun. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, the Bruins should bring their moms on the road to every game.
Krug wheels to the high slot. Dishes to the near point. Marchand right of the net to Brusk. Centered. It was there for Bergeron. Sent out in front. They score! DeBrusk stayed with it. Bergeron didn't move. Got the pass at the doorstep and roofed it by Rene. A power play goal. Bruins 3, Predators 1.
Yep, on Mom's Night, six different Bruins found the back of the net in their 6-2 win over Nashville. That snaps a three-game skid. And, of course, Mr. Pastrnak continued to do this.
Pastrnak tees it up. He scores! David Pastrnak with a bullet over at the far circle. He just blew it right by Pekka-Rinne. The league-leading 32nd of the year for Pastrnak. 1-0 Bruins.
Hey, that was an excellent goal there.
Oh, thanks.
Appreciate that.
Yeah,
it was just an excuse to play this. But you talked all over it, of course.
You jumped on the joke. You killed it. David Pastrnak, I think all these goals are distracting from how your mouth is completely jacked.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to talk to you in that fashion.
When it comes to jacked up teeth in that team, though, does he have a
Monopoly?
No, he just. Well, I mean, hockey, you don't have that. No. Hey, David Pastrnak, what is the version of a communist version of a game where one tries to acquire livestock?
Monopoly.
Okay. He does play that weird version with horses, which he said is a essentially a not a Russian version, a Czechoslovakian version of Monopoly
it's
or
a
Monopoly?
Socialist version of Monopoly.
That could be.
Pasta.
Yeah, that's right. I know he likes pasta.
Pasta. Pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right. Well, you're welcome. So, yeah, 32 goals. He still leads the lead there, and it was nice to see goals from Danton Heinen, Charlie Coyle. You even had Chris Wagner, Par Lindholm with an assist in there as well. But it was a interesting game, and it looked one that they pretty much dominated. One of the strangest things, though, we saw yesterday is how about you had a goal review called a good goal and then a second review and a second announcement in which they called the goal no good after that. Wild times, of course, yesterday in Nashville. Here's Bruce Cassidy on what he'd said to the team beforehand to get them to have this somewhat of an offensive explosion.
I thought we had a good meeting the other day, Jack, on Monday. Went through some of the stuff we do well that we'd gotten away from, playing fast in the neutral zone, attacking the blue line with speed, and then hanging on to pucks in the offensive zone, funneling a little bit more and having a little more confidence. So it kind of all came together today in certain areas of that in those parts of the game. And I'd like to see more of it because I think that's when we're at our best.
David, when you went to Italy and then you got a stomach problem, what did you throw up?
Pasta.
Like a little pasta or a lot of pasta?
Pasta. Pasta.
Okay. So,
well, you look good afterwards. I mean, you don't look sick.
Thanks.
We appreciate that. David Pasternak.
Thanks.
Of course, you're welcome.
So you're always a gentleman. You always know what to say.
He is. Well, it looks like the Bruins try to continue to keep rolling with the Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, coming to town tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Of course, you can hear the puck drop right here. A 98.5 of Sports Hub.
All right. Well, David Pasternak, I wish you well against the Winnipeg Jets.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's very nice of you.
Thanks.
You're a cool guy.
Thanks.
All right. I wish you a
thanks.
Okay. Well, you won't even let me finish.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Ted Johnson is here. I just saw him enter
thanks.
The building. Well, that did nothing to you with you, David. David, what will Ted Johnson not eat?
Pasta.
There's too many carbohydrates.
Yes, there are.
There's way too many carbohydrates. All right. We will have Ted Johnson in with us for the next hour. There will be no commercials here. You like that, David? You like no commercials?
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. I would figure that you wouldn't like those. They'll just be the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelpline.com. ma.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.